This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I'll tell you what, today, a fun show. Before I get going, though, I need to promote the fact that I will be on ABC for an entire week showing all the new cars. Well, not all of them, but 20 of the newest cars from the New York Auto Show during, it's April 15th through the 19th in New York on Live with Kelly and Ryan Seacrest. It's my 20th year of doing that, and I've had a fun time all these years. Always get to meet some interesting people and show some amazing vehicles. And this year, once again, 5 days, they call it the Auto Week on Live. The show is actually called Live, but it's, you know, known as Live with Kelly and Ryan, or Regis and Kelly is what it started with, and then Kelly and Michael, and now Kelly and Ryan. Ryan Seacrest is a car guy, by the way. He likes Aston Martins. Good taste. I guess he can afford to do that, so what the heck. Joining us right now is my good friend, Stephen Cole Smith. I think, hopefully, you're going to get to go to New York this year, the New York Auto Show. Steve, I'd love to see you there.
Man, I'm writing on the calendar that even if I do go, I'm tuning in to, you know, my favorite show, Regis and Kathy Lee.
No, it's awesome.
And I'm going to watch you like I have for 20 years. I grew up watching you. I mean, you were an idol to us youngsters.
You know what?
Your car
everybody
reviews and talking about what happens when there's no rear seat and what you have to do to get back there. And
you remember that? Yeah,
I remember it very well. And I don't know.
All right, hold it. Hold it.
I
got to tell the story. It's worth. First of all, I never did get to meet Kathy Lee because I started the same year as Kelly. But Regis was fantastic. The thing he was talking about, one year there was a Pontiac. I think it was like a C6 or a C something or other. Of course, Pontiac's out of business now, so I can tell this whole story and not get in trouble for it. It was a convertible with a retractable hardtop, whatever version of this car was, and they didn't sell many of them. So we unveiled the car, and the top was down, and I'm telling Regis about this car. It's a Pontiac, whatever it is, and Regis walks over to it, and following Regis is a camera guy, you know, with a big camera on his shoulders. And I'm on the other side of the car, so the guy's taking a picture, you know, he's shooting me talking about the car over Regis's shoulder. And then, of course, Regis has got another camera that goes on him whenever he talks. And Regis points down at the back seat, and he goes, "Alan, there's no rear seat room in this car. Who could sit back here?" And I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, who could sit there? Lieutenant Dan, Colonel Dan. Was he a lieutenant or colonel? My brain, you know, of course, he was an amputee, so he had no back legs and no legs. They would take somebody that would, you know, have no legs to sit because there was no leg room. Anyway, I got in such trouble for that. So, and I offered to apologize to anybody that was, you know, had that type of a situation. But it was like nobody could sit in the back seat because there was no leg room. The seat from the front was touching the bottom of the back seat. There was zero leg room. So, that was, one of those times. But after showing, what is it? I think I've shown like 300 cars on that show live. And it is live, by the way. You will make mistakes. One time I said a car got 400 miles to the gallon. 400 miles to the gallon. And actually what it was, and it was when Michael Strahan was on, he goes, 400 miles to the gallon. And I looked at him and I realized that must be what I said. And he goes, I want to buy this car. And he starts laughing. And I go, you know what? I said, yeah. I said, but unfortunately, no, it gets 400 miles to the tank of gas. So I screwed up. Anyway, but you just got to keep rolling, you know, but it's a fun show to do. So,
well, you do a great job. You show a lot of cars that people haven't seen before. I know the manufacturers love it. I mean, that's such a great showcase for them.
Well, you know, it is a fun show. It's got like 5 or 6 million viewers every morning. Number one morning talk show. So it's a good gig. 20 years, April 15th through the 19th. Set your DVR if it's that important to you to see the cars. But anyway, it's fun.
Yeah.
So in the next segment, what are you going to talk about here today? I understand, of course, Sebring this weekend, the Ferrari Challenge. Are you going?
Yeah, I'm doing a story called Rich for 24 Hours. Ferrari brought me a Ferrari 488 Pista, which is the fastest ever V8 Ferrari.
Woo-hoo.
710 horsepower, $350,000. Delivered it to the house. I'm going to drive it down to Sebring in a little while and hang out with the Ferrarista. What do you call those people? The prancing horse types.
Ferrarista?
Yeah.
I think it's a,
and they,
that's a coffee.
And they,
isn't that a coffee? No, that's a coffee maker, a barista.
No, that's a barista. Yeah, they're not going to be there, but they'll probably have one. But
all right, hold tight. Let me take a break. We're taking a break and talk on the other side. Sebring going on, the Ferrari Challenge. Stephen Cole Smith is going to be there. He works with Auto Week, Automobile Magazine, and Grassroots Motorsports. This is The Drive. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Our show is brought to you in part by the all-new three-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Subaru. Stephen Cole Smith is with us, Auto Week Magazine, Automobile Magazine, Grassroots Motorsports. You can find him all over the place, but this weekend you'll find him at Sebring for the Ferrari Challenge. He just got done saying he was driving a car that I've never even heard of, the Ferrari 488 Pista. What does Pista stand for? I know what pasta is. Pista.
Pista is Italian for racetrack, which is appropriate because, you know, where else can you wind out 710 horsepower? I took this car to Tampa last night to take my girlfriend to dinner, which, you know, I wanted to go to Sonic because I just wanted to sit there and see if they could put the trays on the side, but we ended up going to a steak place. But on the way home, you know, I have obligations. You know, I'm driving a $350,000 car, but I have obligations, and my cat are hungry, so I had to stop at Dollar General to get some fancy feast. So I'm pulled in next to a 96 Ford Explorer and a 1983 Monte Carlo, and I'm sitting in this Ferrari, and I just look like an idiot. I almost wanted to park around the back. One guy says, your Ferrari, you're shopping at Dollar General. I say, well, that's how I afford a Ferrari.
That's exactly right.
I mean, I don't go to Target to buy Fancy Feast cat food. I go to Dollar General. So. And he just nodded and turned away.
God.
And looked like he was going to call the authorities because he knew that I'd stolen the car. There's no way that I should be driving a car like that.
You know what? I got a game for you, though. Here's what I do. So I have this, I have a Viper, right? And it's a crazy-looking car. It's a ACR. You know, it's totally, it should be in the Ferrari Challenge, but they only do Ferraris. But anyway, the point is that this car has a big wing on it and everything. So whenever I drive it and somebody says, oh, hey, rich guy or something, I go, this is Johnny Depp's car. I'm just taking it to get it washed. And then they go, oh, really? You know, it's like it goes from being I'm a jerk to, oh, you know, the celebrity, right? And the funny thing is I got that because I drove it one day to get a haircut, and the guy went out and took a picture of it, and he goes, guess who's in town? And then everybody starts guessing, goes, no, it's Johnny Depp. And I go, and you should have seen the reaction. He had like 50 people going, oh, I love Johnny Depp. And it's like, so you pick an actor that people either love or hate or whatever you want to do, however you want the outcome to be. In this case, so from now on, whenever anybody says anything, I just tell them, I'm just getting the car washed. It belongs to some celebrity, right? Whatever it is. And man, their attitude changes because, you know, I don't know what it is about people. If you're driving it like this one's a $350,000 car, 710 horsepower. Anyway, people either get jealous, angry, or they're really happy for you. But there's not many happy for you people.
Yeah, but not many people happy for me. But, I got to tell you, Viper has always been the friendliest supercar. I mean, because it's American made, you know, you pass an 18-wheeler and a Ferrari, and you're likely to get some kind of a thumb shine or other finger. But you pass a Viper and you get the thumb up. I mean, people love Vipers. It's, for some reason, it gives the impression of being a blue-collar guy who's made it.
Yeah.
And now you can afford a Viper. So you bought American and you bought a monster car, which I love, the Viper.
Wow, man,
one of my favorite cars of all time.
That's awesome.
Not the same thing in a bright red Ferrari. I mean, there's no way you cannot feel like an ass driving a bright red Ferrari. There's no way to be humble doing that.
All right. Now, tell me about the 710 horsepower. Is it that delicious?
Yeah, it's, you know, Ferraris don't sound like they used to a few years ago, but they made this thing sound pretty good. It's, instead of the shrill whine, it's more of a growl. It's a twin turbo, and once those two turbos kick in, I mean, you got to hit 8,000 RPM before all 710 horsepower are there. And, man, with 567 pounds of torque, you could tow a trailer if you wanted to, which would look pretty stupid.
Right.
But, I mean,
that would be funny, though. Think about that. It's
a massive engine back there, and it's right behind you. And when you get out of the car, you feel the heat coming from it. You know, there's a glass window where it's looking at you. And it just, the car almost looks like it feels sorry for me. Like, you know, like it was assigned to do charity for a weekend, and I ended up with it, like picking up trash by the side of the road. That's just a feeling I get from this piece.
All right, hold tight. Here, this is for you, Steve.
Wow, I feel good.
Yeah, baby.
Got it.
Little James Brown. We're talking with Stephen Cole Smith. He writes for Auto Week, Automobile Magazine, and Grassroots Motorsports. Heading out to Sebring in a 710 horsepower Ferrari Pista, which means racetrack. We're going to take a break and talk on the other side. And then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to the folks from Kia, the head of design for the new Telluride, which is coming out. We'll be right back. It is The Drive.
I feel nice. Like sugar is fine.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years. Our show is brought to you in part by the new Kia Telluride. It's Kia's boldest SUV ever, the 2020 Telluride. And we're going to be talking in the next segment to the head of design. I think he's the head of design. Anyway, he's the design chief or something, Tom Kearns from Kia. Here, chief designer, whatever it is. Anyway, we're going to learn about, you know, kind of what they did to put this new vehicle on the road and make it kind of stand out. I think it's beautiful. Stephen Cole Smith is joining us right now. He's going to be heading down to Sebring. Lucky guy driving a Ferrari, $350,000. What else has been going on in your world lately, Stephen Cole Smith?
The Automobile Magazine issue is on the stands for the Automobile All-Stars. I think we had 24 cars. We brought the whole staff out to California, went to Palmdale so we could go to Willow Springs Racetrack and up in the Angeles Mountains. And we picked seven cars. You want to hear what they are?
Yeah.
BMW M2 Competition. What a blast that car is. The Ferrari 812 Superfast, which is exactly what it says. This is one I lobbied for a lot, the Hyundai Veloster N. I mean, we were doing all these $300,000 cars. And I said, let's pick something that people can afford. So for under $30,000, this car is as much fun as you can possibly have for that much money, right under 30, with just a blast.
Yeah, everybody says good things about that.
That's a great car.
Yeah.
Another one, the 2019 McLaren 600LT.
Ooh.
I love that thing. Gullwing doors. It's the friendliest supercar I've ever driven, in the sense that you sit down and you feel like you're in a Honda Accord. And I mean that in a good way, in the sense that everything is right where it's supposed to be. There's no secret buttons. There's, you know, you're just very comfortable the minute you sit in that car. Biggest surprise to me, the Mercedes-Benz G-Wagon, which is redesigned. I like it a lot. I don't know if I would have picked it as a 7 best, but the rest of the staff was just enamored with it.
I drove that. I liked it. It's funny because the average person's going to look at it and go, they didn't do a damn thing. But it's very subtle, very subtle, but much bigger inside, much better inside. I mean to tell you, when you step in, if you know what the old ones are like and you get in these new ones, I could feel like I could own that. The other ones were like, man, this is so yestertech. It needed a full redesign. But hats off to Mercedes-Benz for not changing it so much that you can't even recognize it. Like a good example of that kind of a change would be when they bring General Motors brings the Blazer back and you're like, that's a same with Nissan with the Pathfinder. That's a Pathfinder. You know,
Why waste those names on products like that?
Yeah.
But I liked it. I just call it better for the Kardashian family. Easier to draw it for the Kardashian family. Couple more of the Nissan Altima SR 2.0. That was a surprise. Some of our guys really liked that car a lot. And the last one, and I think probably the best car I've ever driven, the Porsche 911 GT2 RS. Mm. You know, some of these are pushing $300,000, but there's something about that Porsche, and I'm not a Porsche guy. It's never been a destination car for me that I haven't always, there are a lot of cars I'd rather have than 911, but that 911, for some reason, with the big wing and everything, just kind of envelops you and said, let's go really, really fast, and I'll take care of you. And it did. It's a great car.
I should drive my Viper and then get out of the Viper and drive that car because that would be the competitor for it for like double and a half the money.
Completely different car. Different feel. I love both of them. But there's just something about the precision of this 911 GT2 RS that makes you think, man, these guys are on top of their game.
Well, and what's this test called again?
It's the All-Stars.
The All-Stars, okay.
Yeah, Automobile has all done it.
Yeah, every one of the magazines has kind of their, different way of dealing with it. And
One thing we do differently, we vote on all, I think, 24, 25 cars and pick, 6, 7, 8, wherever the numbers fall off. Like where the 9th car has a lot less votes than the 8th car, then we pick 8 cars. Or this time we picked 7. Only 2 Americans. We had the Navigator there. It did make it. And I was assigned to the Corvette ZR1. I thought that was going to be a shoe-in. It didn't make it either. That car just did not feel right. People who have driven them before said that they think there might have been something a little glitchy wrong with it. But
with that particular car.
With that particular car.
Gotcha.
But I think what we came away with was, okay, it's time for Corvette to go to mid-engine. They've done all they can do with a front engine with the ZR1. Time to go mid-engine. And I guess I'm here in January that we're going to see that. I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, let's just stay right there for 1 second. I heard that those things are so powerful, this new mid-engine Corvette we're talking about, that they're twisting frames and cracking frames and things, and they're having some real issues with that because it's so much power, which I love hearing that, right?
Yeah, that's what I've heard, too. And I'm hearing, too, that they're going to keep building the current Corvette for a while because the new Corvette is going to be a real slow rollout as they get it right.
Yeah,
I know they've had troubles with that 48-volt electrical system, but they're keeping it really quiet. But I think, they don't want to let that car out until it's ready.
Right.
And I salute them for that because that car is a dramatic change. And if they can keep the price down to, somewhere in the $100,000 range, they're going to sell a bunch of them.
Well, that's cool. Well, when they came out with the Hellcat, they were and the Demon, they were popping windows out of the back. So that's the problem for having so much horsepower. Stephen Cole Smith, you're the best, man. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Anytime. And I'll see you in New York.
Yes. And coming up next, we're going to talk to our special guest today, Tom Kearns. He is the chief designer at Kia Design Center of America, and he's going to tell us what he knows about the Kia Telluride, which is at dealers now. Our show is sponsored by Kia Now. Really appreciate that. They have some great vehicles, and so we'll learn about that coming on the other side. You can find Stephen Cole Smith at Auto Week, Automobile Magazine, and Grassroots Motorsports. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
It's Dodge Performance Days, where that new car smell gets replaced by the scent of burned rubber. With Dodge Charger and its available best-in-class 485 horsepower, Dodge Challenger Hellcat Redeye, with up to 797 horsepower and 707 pound-feet of torque, and the powerful 7-passenger Dodge Durango. Hurry in for great deals now at Dodge Performance Days. Warrants large regular car vehicle segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I've been talking about Kia's boldest SUV ever, the 2020 Telluride. You know, this is a new SUV coming out. Actually, from what I understand, it is on sale now. Today, our special guest is Tom Kearns. He is the chief designer at Kia Design Center of America. He is also here to tell us a little bit about Kia's new Telluride. Tom, thanks for joining us. First of all, congratulations. This vehicle is gorgeous. I have not been behind the wheel yet. I know that these are on sale right now, but it was like, bam, here they are, everybody. So I am glad that this vehicle is available for, you know, people's traveling holiday season coming up here this summer, because this is a larger vehicle than I think what people think it is. Maybe we could talk a little bit about Kia's Telluride, being the chief designer. Give us a little bit of insight to this vehicle.
We're super excited about the Telluride. It's our biggest vehicle that we have in our lineup.
That's what I thought.
Like you said, it just went on sale a few weeks ago. I've been driving one myself for the last week and super excited about it. It's a great vehicle. A lot of people are checking it out and super interested in it. So,
By the way, I noticed base price, $31,690. That's one thing about Kia. They always offer a tremendous value for the money. As everybody knows, they have this amazing warranty. Kia, all vehicles from Kia have this 10-year, 100,000-mile drivetrain warranty. This one has a 3.8-liter V6, 291 horsepower. You know, I'm going to state a design for your sake, because you're the chief designer. What was the inspiration for the Telluride?
Well, you know, we tried to take a different approach on this one. It seems like there's a lot of vehicles, a lot of crossover and CUVs out there right now that are trying to be like super sporty and super sleek and more car-like. And we sort of went the other direction, and we wanted to create something that was big, bold, and boxy, more getting back to sort of the roots of what a true SUV is.
I see seating for up to 8 passengers. By the way, everybody, for towing, 5,000-pound standard towing capacity, which is a pretty good size, bumper pull trailer, whether it be a boat or some sort of a camp trailer. It seems to answer all the questions for those that have a family and or a pack of dogs, because, you know, I have a friend that has a bunch of dogs. Actually, they show their dogs. He goes, these are my kids. But this vehicle pretty much does everything. When I first saw it, I thought to myself, holy mackerel, that kind of looks like it could sit right next to a Range Rover or something and not be embarrassed. I mean, this is a very nice looking vehicle. Design-wise, what were you shooting for? I mean, it's upscale in design.
Yeah, it's very upscale. You know, like I said, we wanted to sort of step back and get back to the roots of an SUV and create something that was very clean and very pure and, like, not a lot of excess ornamentation on it, not a lot of, like, sweeping, diving, crazy lines. It seems like, you know, more of that straightforward approach to an SUV, and with the form vocabulary, it really communicates like a very strong and stable vehicle. And I think that's what you really want in an SUV.
Yep. Do you know the story behind the name? Why'd they call it the Telluride?
There's a town and a resort in Colorado that has that name. And, you know, we were just thinking, you know, what do we envision a customer doing in this vehicle? If you can imagine going on a ski weekend in Colorado, I mean, that is like the epitome of what you'd want to do with this vehicle. Yeah. So that was sort of the inspiration behind the name.
Well, great name, great looking vehicle. Are there any industry firsts? Of course, that's, you know, that's what everybody wants. It's like, oh, my car's got this. What would that be?
I don't know about industry first, but it's got seating for up to 8 people.
Right.
And depending on how you configure the interior as well, in the second row, you can configure it so instead of just a full bench, it's got like 2 captain's chairs.
Nice.
Which are really nice. And then you have access easy between them to get back, if you want, to the third row.
Right.
But it's super spacious back there, too. I was sitting in the back seat last night, and I'm 6 feet tall, and it's got plenty of leg room.
In the third row.
Yeah. In the third row, but especially in the second row, too,
yeah,
with those captain's chairs. Yeah, really, really nice.
We're talking with Tom Kearns. He's the chief designer at Kia Motors America. We're talking about the new Kia Telluride, their new flagship SUV. Are there any design elements that are unique to the Kia brand in this vehicle?
We always try to incorporate our signature grille, and we've done that on the Telluride as well, and it's got sort of the tiger nose with the tabs on the grill, and but it's done differently. It's very horizontal and sort of slim, and which makes it nice because we've accented it with more of a vertical oriented headlights of each side of the grill.
Right.
And then around back, I really like the taillights. It's very distinctive. They're also vertical, but they have this sort of hockey stick or L shape at the top. And it kind of goes with the shoulder of the body side, and it just looks really clean and very, a very modern feel, in my opinion.
I think it's a beautiful vehicle. When I saw the concept vehicle, I thought, man, if they build that, they've got themselves a winner. And it is on sale now, $31,690, Kia Telluride, 8-speed automatic transmission, 4-wheel independent suspension, available in all-wheel drive, 3.8-liter V6, 291 horsepower, tows 5,000 pounds. The Telluride has some nice options you can add to it, such as Kia DriveWise, a suite of advanced driver assistance systems, which has all the stuff like lane following assistance and highway driving assist. You can also add a 630-watt Harman Kardon Quantum Logic audio system. Very, very good-looking vehicle. I cannot wait to get behind the wheel. Tom, a fantastic job. Hats off to the design team over at Kia Motors America. You guys did a great job, brother. Can't wait.
Thank you so much, Alan.
Tom Kearns. All right, you guys, it's on sale right now. I've been talking about it, the 2020 Kia Telluride. Kia says, give it everything. I'm Alan Taylor. There's more right after this. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel costs, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And our show brought to you in part by Brembo. Brembo Brakes, the choice of champions. BJ Colleen joining us right now, expert automotive journalist. And I am happy to call her my friend as well. Hi, BJ.
Hey, Alan. Hey, I just heard the segment on the Kia Telluride. I know neither one of us have had a chance to drive it yet, but we're looking forward to getting into it. As a matter
Absolutely.
Of fact, my realtor friend really wants to buy one. So he's like, when are you going to get it? When are you going to get it? I said, I'll get it soon, and we'll go for a ride in it so you can see how nice it is.
Yeah,
so.
Well, you know what's amazing is that they're going to the dealers right now. It's like all of a sudden it's like, bam, here's this new car, vehicle, SUV, and they're going to the dealer. So it's like, this just happened really fast as far as I'm concerned. I like it. Believe me, I like it. I can't wait to get behind the wheel. Anyway.
Yeah, me either. But, you know, it's funny because I just was driving the Kia Sorento. Mm. And I had that last week. And this week I've got the Mazda CX-9. And it's kind of interesting because they're basically the same vehicle. So You know, it's a we talk about that if you want.
Yeah, no, no. What do you mean they're basically the same vehicle? You mean as far as size and they're two comparables, right?
Yeah, yeah, they're comparable vehicles in size and price. They're both three-row SUVs. And I hate to – these aren't really crossovers because they're pretty decent-sized vehicles. They're three-row SUVs, both of them together. But it's interesting how the different takes on what they think it is. And the pricing is interesting, too, because the Kia Sorento, the model we had was the XXL all-wheel drive. It was the top-of-the-line, fully loaded.
Wait a minute. Was that two X's, like XXL?
S as in Sam, X as in X-Ray, L as in Larry.
Oh, SXL.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, SXL, all-wheel drive. Yeah, you gotta be careful.
I thought, how cool would that be? It's like, I got the XXL, you know, vehicle, XX.
Well, three rows, extra large. That makes sense, doesn't it? So, but the Sorento, the base Sorento, there's six different trims of the Sorento. There's L, LX, LX V6, EX V6, SX, and XXL that are easy for you to say.
Right.
But the L starts at $26,290. And like, wow, that's, you know, pretty reasonable. The model we had top of the line is $47,480. So you could probably get two of the L's instead of getting the SXL if you want to. So,
right.
But remember when Kias were really inexpensive? Then those days are gone. That's for sure.
Well, you know, here's the deal. They've really decided to go from making the super duper entry level car, which you could buy. I mean, there was a time, you know, what were they? It seems like here, not even too long ago, $12,000, $13,000, $14,000 bucks for their super entry level vehicles, and now they're making what the K900, which is like a Lexus, you know, $60,000-$70,000 bucks. So they've spent the last 20 years or so really evolving this brand and making, you know, quite a huge selection of vehicles. I mean, if you look at Kia, it's got a wonderful sporty car called the Stinger, which is amazing.
Oh, boy, fun.
You know, they've got a lot of different SUVs and sedans, and they've got a lot of variety. So you can still buy the entry-level vehicles all the way up to the K900, which is their flagship luxury sedan. And it offers everything a Lexus or a BMW does for a little less money.
Yeah, and you know, they do have the Kia and the Forte, so they do still have, we call them entry level, but they're better than entry level because they do have a lot of nice standard safety features. But you know, it's interesting because then when you look at the Mazda CX-9, and the CX-9's been around for many, many years as well. And this one is interesting because I looked at the out-the-door price where we had the Grand Touring all-wheel drive, which is the next to the top level. There's one more level, the Signature at the very top, but the difference isn't that much. But the total of this one was $45,000. But this car started at $32,000.
Right.
So it's interesting that to get into Mazda CX-9, it's going to cost you considerably more than to get into the Sorento with three rows. So, you know, it depends on how much you want to spend on options and what you're looking for.
Well,
as far as side-by-side comparisons, I think the Kia is better looking. The Mazda, you know, it's all about sportiness, but they've got kind of a horse collar front nose on the Mazda CX-9, and I don't know if you've seen it lately. Have you driven the CX-9 yet?
I have not. No.
Okay. And, you know, Mazda's real good about their whole zoom. You know, it's about performance and about having fun to drive vehicles. And I'll give them credit. They really do offer that because they've got a decent engine. It's their SkyActiv 2.5-liter turbocharged engine, and it's mated to a 6-speed sport mode automatic transmission. It has 227 horsepower, which is not the most, but it's got 310 pound-feet of torque. So it really shoots you off the line when you're going. As a comparison, the Kia has a 290 horsepower and 252 pound-feet of torque from their 3.3-liter gas direct injection six-cylinder engine. So, you know, it's interesting. One has more torque, one has more horsepower, again, depending on what you're looking to do with the vehicles. Overall, they both drive very well. There's a couple of areas on the Kia that I think beat the Mazda, and one of them is in seating comfort. And you know, for a guy who drives as much as you do, how important seating comfort really is, right? So on the Mazda, the seats are kind of narrow. They're a little bit short in the thigh support area, and they really weren't comfortable for anybody. It's interesting because when we do these comparos, our realtor friend, Philip, is 6'3". He got in it. He was not comfortable. Our next door neighbor, Jen, is 5'2". She got in. The first thing she said is, I don't like the seats. So it's interesting how big a difference. So I don't know who Mazda was really building the seats for, but they don't really seem to fit anybody comfortably. And when you get in the Kia, you sit down and you just go, ah, man, these seats are nice. You know, they get it.
It's funny because I'm looking, you were talking about the Kia Sorento starting at $26,290, and with fully loaded, I mean, you can put a lot of, you know, electronics on these things, but at $47,480 for the top line, there's a $20,000 spread between those two.
It's big.
But what's smart about that, it's kind of like the smorgasbord type thing. You know, it's like, you know, yes, I want a big moonroof. Yes, I want all the, you know, tech package, which can cost, I'm sure, $4,000 or $5,000. Yes, I want the bigger wheels and tire package. Yes, I want leather. And you could just keep adding yes, yes, yes. But if you don't want it, you can still buy the basic vehicle for really, really affordable, which I personally think that is brilliant in the way they're doing that. Let's take a break. We'll talk on the other side more. Happen to be a big fan of the Mazda, too. I've driven the CX-5 and the CX-3. I've not driven the 9 yet, which is the big one. Happen to be a big fan of them, so I want to get behind the wheel of that, too. We're talking with BJ Colleen. She's doing a little comparo between the Kia Sorento and the Mazda CX-9. You're listening to The Drive, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
No one ever said, give it a bit. No one ever said, give it less. We say, give it everything. The world wasn't built by half measures, by the half-hearted. So when we set out to build our boldest SUV ever, we didn't hold anything back. Introducing the all-new Telluride. Kia. Give it everything. Expected spring 2019 in limited quantities.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Hey, don't forget, on the 15th of April through the 19th, I will be on ABC with Kelly Ripa and Ryan Seacrest, showing cars from the New York Auto Show. I'm usually in the last part of the show. They do the last couple of segments, and we get to show four new cars a day. So I'll be on for a whole week. It's my 20th year. BJ wow. Colleen here. Can you imagine that?
I can't imagine. You've been through how many hosts now?
Like, well, it was Regis and Kelly. So I started the same year that Kelly did.
Okay.
So Regis and Kelly, and then Kelly and Michael Strahan. Before Kelly and Michael Strahan, it was just live with Kelly. And then yeah. She had all kinds of different co-hosts, which was kind of fun. And then, let's see, who was it? Then it was...
Ryan.
Yeah, well, but they did that again. It was Kelly again by herself with different, you know, co-hosts. And then now it's, three official co-host people. Seacrest is actually a car guy. You know, he loves Aston Martins. Anyway, that's going to be fun. So at the 15th through the 19th of April during the New York Auto Show. All right, let's do the wrap on the Kia Sorento and the Mazda CX-9. They're comparables. Starting price is $26,290 on the Sorento. You can spend $46,000-$47,000 for a fully loaded one. The CX-9 was $32,000 roughly starting.
Yeah, round 32. But yeah, and out
basically,
the door 45.
Yeah, 40. Same kind of a deal, but starting price of quite a bit more for the CX-9. So I don't know.
Absolutely.
Could be
absolutely.
That it's,
and it maybe comes with more features.
Yeah,
I didn't look at the entry model.
Right.
But, you know, there's good and bad. You know, everybody has to go and drive the vehicles themselves, you know, because everybody's got different body types and different things that they notice. And, you know, I prefer the AV system, you know, all the navigation and controls on the Kia than I do to the Mazda. You know how I feel about the Mazda system. I've talked about it ad nauseum. You know, the Kia had a little bit more wind noise at speed. The Mazda engine, you can hear a little bit more. You know, fuel economy is comparable. Mazda's saying 23 miles combined. We're seeing about 18, but, you know, we have lead feet. So,
right.
You know, they're both very well-built vehicles. I'll give them credit. They're both well-built. They both are quality on the interior. They both feel good. I prefer the way the Kia looks. I prefer the way the Kia feels overall. So,
wow.
And I don't know, maybe I'm biased because we own the Kia Sedona minivan and we really like it. But I would take the Sorento over the Mazda CX-9. That's my personal opinion. But like I said, everybody's different. If these vehicles are something you're interested, please go and drive them and
yeah.
make your notes back to back, right?
You know what? And it's funny too, because my question for you is, you know, if you decided to go and you had a certain budget in mind, could you get one, you know, like the Kia Sorento at $26,290? That's like a pretty base model. when we were kids, you know, you'd have to crank up the windows, but this has probably got power windows and door locks and tilt and cruise and air conditioning. It's all standard equipment on these things.
Yeah.
But that question is, could you live with one that didn't have like the leather and all that? Could you spend $28,000-$29,000 and be happy?
Sure, you could. You know, you could spend $28,000-$29,000. You know, I mean, you could be very happy. Again, like, I don't like sunroofs. I don't necessarily like, especially living in Vegas.
Right.
I don't think they're necessary. I don't use them that much. So I hate having them. So I'm happy to not have to buy a car with a sunroof. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of them. You know, my husband likes them because he can stand up and take photos from them.
Right, because he's a photographer.
He's a photographer. Yeah, that's why he likes a sunroof. But, you know, I can take them or leave them. The problem is they're usually packaged with things. So, you know, it's nice to be able to have options. And again, you're probably going to have more choice because of the entry starting price at 26 on the Sorento. So, but again, everybody's got to go drive them to find out for themselves.
All right. Well, thank you for that. And let me ask you in the last minute here, what are you doing this weekend?
Oh boy, Scott and I are heading out to the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. The Denso Spark Plug NHRA 4-Wide Nationals are going on. Mm. And we're talking 4-Wide dragsters and 4-Wide Pro Stock and funny cars. It is just going to be a loud fest, and we are so looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Do you go for the crashes, or do you really go for drag racing?
No, we go for these making top speed. You know, I mean, we want to see those things go across, and you can't blink because you'll miss them, you know. So.
By the way, I get a phone call from Tim Kaniskis, the head of passenger cars for FCA, Fiat Chrysler Auto Wheels. And I said, are you guys really going to make a vehicle that has more horsepower than the Dodge Demon? Because, you know, we're sponsored by Dodge. And so I get to talk to the president of the company every now and then. And he starts laughing at me. He literally started laughing. And I'm like, what are you laughing about? And he says to me, that was April Fool's, right? He goes, what was it? You know, he goes, what was the date of that, Alan? And I go, April Fool's? And he goes,
sucker.
He goes, you're such an idiot. We started laughing.
Sucker.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody was believing it. They were going to do 1,000 horsepower. It was going to be $200,000. April Fool's. All right. Dodge has got a great sense of humor. I think that's hilarious.
I've had fun too.
BJ Killeen, thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks, Alan.
We have another hour to go right here on The Drive, and we'll be back. I'm picking up
good vibrations. Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
The big news from Subaru is the all-new 3-Row Ascent. It's the biggest SUV from Subaru ever. There's room for 7 or 8 passengers with a choice of second-row captain's chairs or bench seating. It'll tow up to 5,000 pounds. It has the interior space you need for your whole crew. And it gets you where you want to go with the safety of a Subaru, including standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. The all-new 3-Row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Maximum towing capacity varies by trim level, and trailer brakes may be required. See your retailer for details.